Before I begin, I just want to thank Rav Aryeh for this beautiful idea and all those who were involved. I wasn't involved at all in learning the Masechet, but for all those who did it, aside from having a Siyum Shas Mishnayos and more, for my father at the Shoshana we did in New York, it's very meaningful to me that in the Shul and the Chevra and Reshit as well, who learned L'ilui Nishmas, my father. My father was on Daf Kuf Hei in Maseches Bava Kama. When I realized that my father wasn't well, his nida was that my father was a sovel, as I will discuss, and that B'derech HaTeva hurt him in this case, that he had had corona for a long time, and he didn't tell anybody that he wasn't feeling well. But the Friday that I sensed that something was wrong was I arrived to shul a few minutes before mincha, and I was talking to him on the phone, and we had just finished the outside of the shul. We had just finished the outside. And I told my father, and my father, for those of you who heard me in the shiva, my father was a kutzker. There weren't any extra words. And my father's compliments, my father clearly complimented us, but it was not with any extra words. And my father started saying, "It's so beautiful. I'm so happy about what you're doing with the shul." And I hung up the phone, and I said to myself, "This is not my father is not himself." And then I called my sister. I said, "Call Tati, something's off." And sure enough, he had been sick, and he hadn't told anybody. But the giveaway that my father was not himself was he began to express how proud he is of you and as of me of the shul. So you should know that was. And also, I was Zocha Eliav forwarded to me the picture of the Aron Kodesh. I showed it to my father. The day he was nifter, I never thought that would be the day that he was nifter. But you should know that what came out from him in his last day was a tremendous excitement. That was the part that was not the Kutzker, that was not consistent with Kutzker's personality. He expressed to me a real excitement of what you're doing here, and I have the schus to do it with you. Was something that gave him a tremendous amount of meaning and tremendous amount of a joy. I mentioned that my father was on Kuf Hei in Maseches Bava Kama. My father took notes in everything in life. He has dozens and dozens and dozens of notebooks. Some of you saw the picture of my father's desk that he left. And on his desk was a Gemara Bava Kama, Art Scroll edition of Bava Kama, a Steinsaltz edition of Bava Kama. I mentioned in the past that my father knew Aramaic better than me, but he used to go walk around with the translations of the Gemaras because my father learned with the goal of Havana Adasof, and that the fact that it looked that he didn't know how to read Aramaic didn't faze him at all. On his desk was a Pnei Yoshua that he was working on that Sugya of Bava Kama. And Commentary Magazine, New Yorker Magazine, I think, Museum of Natural, Museum of Natural History. In his notebook on Daf Kuf Hei, my father, I want to make this point just in terms of learning. I've mentioned, and I'll put this up as well for lessons of my father, I mentioned that my father's approach in learning, I'll say this briefly, there was no Bekiyas and there was no Iyun. My father learned with the goal of simply Havana. And so in his notebook, on Daf Kuf Hei, he would read a line of Gemara, he would read it over and over again, and then he would write questions. He would write questions. And that's a beautiful way of learning, and that's a way of learning that every single one of you could do. It requires us to be a little bit more studious than maybe my father grew up in a different generation in Victorian Canada. In Western Canada in the 1940s is a little bit different than growing up in the United States in the 1990s. But it's something that we could learn from. In other words, my father did not employ any glorious Masorah to his learning. It was just simply It was just simply learning for the sake of Havana. There was no such thing as Iyun. There's no such thing as Bekiyus. He just wanted to understand. He felt so lucky that he's learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and he wanted to understand it. And so that methodology of my father's, you know, I try to give the guys in the Grus Kol methodology. The beautiful thing is that you can learn from my father. You don't even need a methodology, per se. Just the desire to try to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Have a notebook, write questions. And of course, most of the questions you won't answer, but you'll have harav in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. I'm going to say over what my brother said. May he be well. My brother has said something beautiful at the Shloshim in New York. It wasn't recorded, so I'm going to record it, and I want to share it with you for posterity. That very much captures a couple of midos that I think we could really learn from in my father, Hareini Kaparis Meshkava. My brother quoted a Svas Emes. The Svas Emes points out that the give and take between Yosef and his brothers after he reveals himself, much has been written on the first line, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai, but then Yosef repeats himself. Vayomer Yosef el Achav Gishuna Elai Vayigashu Vayomer Ani Yosef Achichem Asher Mechartem Oisi Mitzrayma. I am Yosef, brothers that you sold me to Mitzrayim. So Sfas Emes learns B'derech Avoda says that the brothers originally said to themselves, my goodness, he's Yosef a tzaddik. What type of tzaddik would he have become if we didn't do this terrible thing? He became this in Mitzrayim. So can you imagine what he would have been if he would have stayed by Yaakov, if he would have stayed in the Beis Medrash of the Yud Beis Shvatim? And Yosef answers, the Sfas Emes says beautifully, Ani Yosef Achichem Asher Mechartem Oisi Mitzrayim. You should know the person I am is because I was alone in Mitzrayim. The person I am is dafka because of those travails of being alone. One of the hallmarks of my father, Hareini Kaparis Meshkava's life, was my father was alone. My father did things alone. I mentioned to you he suffered alone. And my father's name that he was given at his bris was very, very appropriate, Avram. In fact, my father was born in 1936. The name that he was given was supposed to be after my grandmother's family was entirely alive. My great-grandfather, my great-grandmother from my grandmother's side. And so when they left for the bris, when my grandfather left to take my father to the bris, in those days the women didn't come to the bris, so they made up that my father would be named after his grandfather, his great-grandfather. His grandfather was still alive in Poland. 5 years later, they were all killed, Al-Kiddush Hashem. My grandmother's entire family was killed. Everybody was killed. But at that time, it was normal. But Derech HaTeva was to be named for his great-grandfather. My great-grandfather's name was Avram Yitzchak. My father, as some of you know, my father's name was Avram Pesach. To typify the chesed of my grandfather and the house that my father grew up in, my grandfather was on the way to the bris, and he met an almana. And Almana said to him, Hashoichet, she said to him in Yiddish, she said, my grandfather was the Shochet that saved his life, coming to Vancouver to be a Shochet. This is, by the way, not in Vancouver, this is in Saskatchewan. My father was born in Yorkton, Saskatchewan. Hirsch, Saskatchewan, precisely. So the woman said to my grandfather, said, my husband just passed away, and I had no descendants. So could you name after can you name your son after my father, my husband? So sure enough, when my grandfather came home from the bris, he brought my father to my grandmother, and my grandmother cradled my father in her arms, and she said, Avram Yitzchak. And my grandfather said, nope, Avram Pesach. the name of Almana's husband is, that typifies a lot of what the house that my grandfather raised my father in. So, but my father was alone, and the name Avram is very, very appropriate. Avram HaIvri, Chazal say that Avram was mitzad echad v'kol ha'olam mitzad acher, and the entire world was on the other side. As I've mentioned in the past, my father was basically the only religious kid that came out from one of the few, not the only, but one of the few, certainly from his tekufa, from his chevra, he was the only child that was religious. I mentioned my father, most of his friends were Gentiles. My father also was single up until age 34 when he found my mother. And my father described to me the loneliness of... and somehow, that loneliness and that unique living of being kol olam b'tzad echad v'hu b'tzad echer forged an amazing, amazing personality, my brother pointed out, in my father. My father was a Baal Shita. My father had very, very, very strong opinions, but he never clashed with anybody about them. My father had no need to convince anybody else, because he grew up that way. He grew up as extending and expressing the Masorah that he had from Europe on the one hand, but at the same time, there was almost no expectation that anybody else would understand that MS. And therefore, in my father's discussions with people, the way he spoke with people, my brother, it sounds like a guzma, but it's true. My siblings and I say we never saw my father raise his voice once in his life. What we've spoken about in the Ramban, that the Ramban says, L'daber kol dvorecha benachas, and kol dvorecha benachas creates shalom, because there's never a confrontation. That typifies my father. Never once. It sounds like an exaggeration, but it's not. My father never. We never heard my father raise his voice once in his life. And that was because my father learned that to be a Baal Shita and to live something and to teach it and to be moser it to the next generation doesn't necessarily mean that one needs to always thrust that Shita on others. And that also expressed itself, my brother pointed out, also expressed it in my father's unique midos. My father was not makbid on others, even though he himself excelled at certain things. So for example, my father was always early. My father came to davening 15, 20 minutes early, not 2 minutes before Shacharis. My father was, ever since I could remember, my father was always in Shacharis 15, 20 minutes before davening. My father was always punctual, always on time. I guess that's one of the reasons I was nimshach to Meiri v'Rabbi Rav Nevensal Shlita. Rav Nevensal is always early. Rav Nevensal is always very conscientious of the time. Rav Nevensal comes to the shir and waits for the Talmidim to come. I got a little bit more of my mother's genes. I got the Hasidisha genes. But Rav Nevensal waits for the Talmidim to come. He's always early. He's never late. By the way, as a Talmud, if you come late to Rav Nevensal, you should feel terrible. But he also, Rav Nevensal is not makbid on others. But my father, when we were late, or when the minyan was late, my father was not makbid. That midah, to be able to, on the one hand, be a Baal Shita, yet at the same time, not to be makbid on others. So my brother pointed out that the terrible pain of loneliness that was a large part of my father's life also became a tremendous bracha in the type of person that he became. Now, what do you take away from this? I don't expect of myself, and I don't expect of you, that we should never raise our voices. That to be of that madrega is, in that regard, my father was close to a malach. That's a very, very hard madrega to... But I think there are a couple of takeaways. First of all, coming back to the Talmud Torah, which is what this is a celebration of, I think the first takeaway is that every person could excel and be amel on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Just simply a desire to really work on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is something that is shaykh to all of us. Sometimes we think that if I'm able to do the Daf Yomi, if I'm able to connect to this shir or to that shir or to this system or that system, what it requires is simply two things, as time and devotion. To succeed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah requires two things, time and devotion. That's a person, and we need to be mekadesh that time and the devotion, not just to go through the motions, but to really to hariv, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Ish al pi madregasav, ish al pi kolchosav. The other madrega, which I think is really important, which is I think is a tremendous challenge to almost all of Orthodox Jewry today, is to be able to find inside of ourselves that koach of Avram HaIvri. Our world works so much with social pressure. My father couldn't understand that whole most of the social pressure. He couldn't understand it. It was entirely foreign to him. Partly foreign to him because that was his goral in life, but also it was foreign to him because the avodas Hashem that he received from my grandfather, from my great grandfather, going all the way back to the Kotzker Rebbe Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, that whole Mesorah, the whole idea of that today that people are doing things in order to fit in, as opposed to being Mavak Sheyemes. And by the way, no doubt that when we were discussing the name of the shul, that my father's dugma, could be more subconsciously than consciously, but that's the message of Mavak Sheyemes. The message of Mavak Sheyemes is that we don't do things simply because other people do things. We do things because that is what's going to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'll be contemporary, I'll be sociological. For my father, there was no contradiction between Sionut and Charediut. For my father, there was absolutely no stira at all between a love of Eretz Yisrael and to be fully Charedim ba'avodas Hashem. Love for Eretz Yisrael and Charedim la'avodas Hashem. Why is that? What is that? So just because there was some Haredim that were the anti, once upon a time, were anti Akamas Medina, and just because once upon a time there was someone called Herzl, that means that you can't have a tremendous love for Eretz Yisrael. You can't have, it's a stira to the whole Musag of Mevak Sheyemes. The whole Musag of Mevak Sheyemes is that you look at the Chashivas of Eretz Yisrael, you look at the Chashivas of being a Haredi la'avoid, avoidas Hashem, and there's absolutely no stira between the two. This person does that. This commentator says that. This politician says that. And v'chulei. That's to my father. That was the Olam HaSheker. That entirely was a Olam HaSheker. Nothing. It has to do with all these contorted social realities that don't have anything to do with the sugya amitit. And bring it back. That's in terms of the broader look of Klal Yisrael. By the way, my father lived this intellectually. My father, we're trying to figure out, my father had thousands of svarim. So I'm hoping one possibility is to bring some of them, that we'll build a second floor and do a library, Le'ilui Nishmas, my father. My father had thousands of svarim. Some of them could come here. My father had about 500 books on the state of Israel and 1,000 books on the Holocaust. My father has probably one of the most unique collections. There's not enough room in the shul for all those books. I think my sister is gonna. She has the largest home of all of us. I think she's going to take them. We want to keep that library intact. The svarim in Mirtz Hashem will be spread out with amongst all of the grandchildren, b'siyata d'shmaya, and here I hope b'siyata d'shmaya. But so my father's awareness of the history of Klal Yisrael. My father's notebooks. My father would read a Holocaust book every day. You know, he would learn, and he would read a Holocaust book every day, and he took copious notes of every single book that he. So my father lived in the shadows of the Shoah. That was part of my father's loneliness, also. My father would describe. I'm sorry, I'm going on a little longer, but these are beautiful. It's unique. My father was unique. Why I was zocha for such a father, I don't know. But my. Yeah, maybe I'll stop here. There's so much more. The other take I was in the takeaways. So the other takeaway that I was describing is not only being Avram HaIvri in a social sense, but being Avram HaIvri in terms of the way we live life, and that is that try to spend a little bit more time being alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, turning off the phones. I saw something beautiful. One of my Talmidim, I just WhatsApped, and his I don't know what it's called. I don't know all the technology, but something connected to this, his status maybe or something. It said phone is off from 5 to 7, family time. seems like that this Talmud turns off his phone every day from 5 to 7. But I don't want to talk about technology, the technology per se. I'm talking about something a lot deeper. I'm not talking about phones. I'm talking about the ability for us to stop. My father journaled in a crazy way. My father journaled almost everything in his day. And my father was disappointed in me that I didn't write letters a lot, or I didn't journal. My father also had standards, and if we didn't live up to them, but a little bit of that, I tried to take a little bit from my father, a little bit of that, to spend time alone, thinking, writing, and reflecting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given all of us, I'm looking around at the chevra here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you beautiful, beautiful lives. Beautiful, beautiful lives. And we're rushing through it. We're rushing through it. How do we stop? How do we stop and appreciate it? Appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Appreciate the people that are around us. My father, when he would talk to others, he would engage with them ad hasof. And by the way, we even as a shul, we could improve a little bit on that. My father would go over and say hello to every single person in shul. And we're rushing through our lives. And I know, in a way, you have it harder than my father. My father had 3 children, and his first child he had at age 36, 37. And it was quote-unquote only 3 children. And my father, Baruch Hashem, lived to age 86. And some of the things I'm describing my father did after he was retired. My father knew how to rush through Manhattan. My father was the fastest walker. My father, it was impossible to keep up with my father. So he knew how to rush, and he knew how to rush to work. But my father was able to stop in Midtown Manhattan, lunchtime. My father would stop. He would go to the library every day. He ate quickly. My father wasn't so shakuen, all the gashmias and the papagayos and the this and that. My father never went to a restaurant. We as a family never went to a restaurant. My family does. My wife has taught us better. But my father never went to a restaurant. So his eating was, it was 10 minutes at work he ate, then he ran off to a library. And he didn't do the daf yom, he didn't do the yeshivisha things. He would read the Holocaust book, and then he would stop at 2 lines of Gemara. My father loved Toldos Tanoim v'Amoraim, so he would research. He would go to the biggest libraries in New York, and he would research every single thing about Rav Tachlifta. He would whatever intrigued him in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, that's what he did. And Rabosa, you and I are rushing through life. V'im b'gvuro shmonim shana. And I expected my father to live till 100. It doesn't happen all the time. So we have to find a way to slow things down, to be Avram at Ivri. And b'siyata d'shmaya to be zocha, to be mevak she'emes. And when a person lives a life and could look back at their lives and say they lived their lives al pi emes, so then there's no greater accomplishment for the neshama. And I hope that this siyum, which was so beautiful that you did something else, that is a schus for my father's neshama, that's mitzdarev to nishmas ha'emes, that my father had. And may we be zocha to raise doros in my personal family, but in our, really, my father looked at the shul, in his last few days, my father looked at the shul as an extension of his family. And may we be zocha to raise doros of Yisharim and Anshei Emes, and to be mekadesh shem shemayim, that all the dreams of those like my father who dreamed to settle Eretz Yisrael with a sincere, deep form of Avodas Hashem, a true form of Charediyut in Avodas Hashem, yet at the same time, an understanding that the world is complex, that the world is nuanced, that there's Chachma Bagoyim, and all of that needs to be used to build Artzeinu HaKadoshim. May we be zeicha to do this with our children, grandchildren, and Mirtz Hashem, great-grandchildren, and Dorei Doros. So now we'll make a... See, Moshe? The reason why Moshe is doing the seam and not me is because I didn't do a word of Bava Kama. It's the Baruch Hashem, the Chevra. Much appreciated.
Mordechai? Mordechai? Mordechai?